Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Gosh, we all came in together. This is wonderful to see you all. Wow. I feel like I was gone a long time, just because when you go to the mountains, you feel like you kind of died, and then you come back and you have to start all over again. So. let's do introductions, Ron.
Chris.
Judy.
Chris.
Shuka.
Kathy.
John.
Violet.
Nico.
Leslie.
Nestor.
Ross.
Marie.
Jeffrey.
Wendy. Tony.
Yep.
Ron.
Angie. So have you been here before, Tony? Welcome. You came with Yap?
Yes, I did.
I thought I saw you walk in together. Yes. So he was your avenue to this place.
Been neighbors for 3 years.
Neighbors?
And now that I moved, she's dying.
Oh.
She lives very close by.
I see. Oh. Well, wonderful. Glad you're still coming.
Yeah,
good. We don't have a subject except Sesshin and practice period. We started a practice period some weeks ago, and we're coming up to the end of it with Sesshin. We have one more Tuesday night here before I hope a lot of you end up at Jikoji to sit this at least the weekend, if not the week, of meditation practice. It's such an incredible opportunity. It doesn't come very often to find a place that's quiet enough and a group of people who are practiced enough to create a situation that it gives us a safe place to plunge in. Coming on Tuesday nights, of course, is really important. It gives the whole week a balance that we wouldn't have otherwise. And sitting at home certainly does that also. Sitting every day, even for 20 minutes, creates a whole day that's different from if you didn't do it. It's how we're made. It's not anything esoteric or mysterious. It's just the way that we're made, that without quieting down and letting our whole body, mind, breathe in it the way that it's meant to, instead of this tension that we're under all the time. Usually we get out of bed and we're all ready to go and to leap, and there's a list to do, and we're doing it all day long. So it's really important to have some time in your day when you stop. Just stop dead in your tracks and sit down. And as one of my friends says, you sit down and shut up. It's a relief. It's a huge relief. And it's something that we don't do for ourselves enough. So I'm encouraging everyone to have a daily sitting and to come to Sesshin if you possibly can. Just to slip in and out. It's possible to slip in and out. All during the week, as long as you make sure the cook knows that you need food beforehand, because it's all very carefully planned, beautifully planned. It's a little bit like putting on a play. You have a lot of beforehand work that's going on now. Nico and Leslie and Wendy had a hand in it.
Oh, yeah.
Marie is hacking away at it. It's quite amazing. And then when we go, it all becomes, after the first day or so, the first day is a little lumpy. And nobody knows where to go, and there's always something you don't have, like a towel or the bottom sheet or something. So you get it all sorted out, and then you can just walk through the day according to the sound. In the morning, you'll hear a little bell, and that means get up. And then you have 15 minutes to go to the zendo. There's a talk, 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 talk. And there's a whole system of showing what time it is, so by the time the talk, talk, talks are over, you're sitting. And then there are bells. You don't have to worry about what time it is. You just hear the bell and you get up and you bow and you walk. And then you hear the bell and you sit down. Then you hear the bell and it's time for lunch. Oh, yay! But it's all quiet. It's all in silence. And that's the best part of it. Because it is a world of blue jays and quail and turkeys and wildflowers, great trees, high hills, the ocean in the distance, and suddenly the whole world is open to you as you are in silence and experiencing the earth itself and how you yourself are with life, as life, in life, in a way that we don't feel in the city so well. So although we think of Sesshin as this upright sitting, and it is mostly, we're sitting with everything. And not just the hills and the trees and the birds, but the universe. The stars up there are remarkable. Practice period is an opportunity to choose something to do specially about your practice. Some people memorize something like the Metta Sutra or how to do the bells, take on some extra job or invite their friends to tea. Or there are many ways to connect with your practice a little bit more. And that's what practice period is about. And then usually at the end of Sesshin, we end the practice period with gratitude for everyone. And then there's some kind of ceremony usually. We had a wedding once. We have had a couple of ordinations. We have a Shosan ceremony sometimes where the teacher is asked impossible questions one by one and has to answer just like that. It's a great practice. And this time we're going to have a Jukai, receiving the precept ceremony at the very end of Sesshin. So there's always a kind of finale after the final lunch that creates a sense of what it's for and how it is that we're all involved without words. Our involvement in our life is really wordless. We can't really even say what it is. And yet we sense it, and the more we practice, the more we begin to feel it deeply. And of course we feel, as we encounter one another, we feel not only our being, but we feel other beings as well, and we feel their happiness and their sadness and their suffering. We become much more available to the world as it is. And our availability makes us able and actually empowers us to do something about it. So that instead of turning away and trying not to pay attention to the things that are really difficult, we find we're able to reach out. And that's really the point of practice. That was Shakyamuni Buddha's point. He said, I'm enlightened with everyone. With everyone. That's an awesome thing, because there's some that we don't want to be enlightened with. We want to choose the ones that we want to be enlightened with. And that isn't it. That isn't it. As the Tibetans say, everyone was our mother at some time. And so we treat everyone as if they had been our mother, gently and with gratitude. Even if we, at this point, had not a very good mother, still, the mother from the past requires deep respect and gratitude. So we need to choose a book, and I brought just a few suggestions and a list that Marie put together that is really impressive. All the things that we have studied since 2007. It's on two pages. It's huge. I had no idea we had done so many things. It's just incredible. We did the ox herding pictures, Zen mind, beginner's mind, heart sutra, precepts, Genjo koan, mountains and water sutra, which is what they're going to study at the Sesshin. John and Paula are going to lead it, and they're going to talk about the mountains and waters. Wonderful, wonderful chapter in Dogen Shobogenzo. Very appropriate for Jikoji, extremely appropriate. So we did the Vimalakirti Sutra and the Platform Sutra and the, well, this is for you all to look at if you're interested. And then I brought some books that I know we talked about it before, and we had a number two after what we finished, but I don't remember what it was. Wendy remembers.
The Heart Sutra.
That's what I thought. Well, I brought a, there are innumerable books about the Heart Sutra. Dalai Lama has the Heart Sutra book, of course. It's one of the best. We studied that. We've studied the Heart Sutra a couple of times. And then there's some new ones. Deshi Maru has a marvelous book about the Heart Sutra. And this one, Ken, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name, MacLeod?
Ron can tell you.
This guy.
MacLeod.
MacLeod. It's amusing. It's full of cartoons illustrating his points. And he's talking about it in terms of archery, shooting a target. It's called An Arrow to the Heart. So that's one. And then Words for the Heart is Huck Wynn's commentary on the Heart Sutra, which is also amusing and strong. He was an astonishing teacher. He was a Rinzai teacher, actually, but I would call him an altogether teacher. Yeah, I don't think you could call him one thing or another, but he was one of the best. And he has a commentary on it that's quite wonderful, too. So those are two suggestions for the Heart Sutra. Dogen has a chapter on the Heart Sutra also. And then if you want something else, or something else on the side, because I want to encourage you to not just focus on what we do on Tuesday night, but have something that you're looking at during the week. Something that you take to bed with you, something that you look at in the morning before you go to work, or before you, who knows. But Uchiyama Roshi is one of the very best about Zazen itself and the mind. And this is called Opening the Hand of Thought. It's a very, very beautiful book. So I'm recommending it as one of the books that you might want to explore. And then, of course, there's a big hunk of Dogen in here. And there's lots more Dogen anywhere else you look. So if you want something really, really challenging and interesting, Dogen is the man. There are many new books coming out. If you look in Amazon, it's overwhelming. When I started to sit, there were about three books. D.T. Suzuki, Kanza, and Philip Kaplow. That was it. And none of them was very helpful, actually. None of them talked about sitting. They talked about the intellectual side of Buddhism. So it's when Suzuki Roshi wrote Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, and brought in sitting practice that it changed the whole situation. And suddenly we were all sitting. And studying the precepts, and studying the different sutras, and taking the precepts, receiving the precepts. In Buddhism, the precepts happen with every single thing. You receive the precepts when you are married, when you're buried, when you are, doing jukai. I don't know how to call jukai. It's a staying home, they call it, the staying home receiving the precept ceremony. As opposed to the leaving home ceremony, which is the ordination of a priest, which is also the precepts. And then there are many different kinds of hierarchies in it that we don't pay much attention to, except the transmission part. And John is actually being transmitted this week and next week. Are being finished transmission. He and I are working together so that he can be a full-fledged teacher when he leads Sesshin. He's sown a raksu with enormous dedication, and so he'll be able to wear his new raksu, and he'll receive some papers next week. And so the papers are all about the precepts, so it's a beautiful thing. For Exploding Zendo especially, these things are really beautiful. So Judy is the one who's taking the precepts, which is a big treat for all of us. And of course you will discover, if you're there, that you will be taking the precepts also. It just happens that way. We all receive them. So, I think that's all I brought to say tonight. And I don't know what time it is, but
13 minutes.
Oh, good, good. So I'm open to all kinds of questions. You may have questions about what we're doing here, or Sesshin, or anything else that comes up for you. This is your chance. Leslie?
I have lots of questions.
Good, good.
I will only ask one. So in preparing for session, I started to notice something that was talked about before at Green Gulch and at Goatman Road and other places. And that's the integration of Buddhism into a new place or culture. So, and how the forms then will adapt and adopt over time.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I heard was it takes 300 years. So,
yes.
You know, so like, don't hurry.
Yes.
And at the same time, on the practical side of things, we, and so does in follow a pretty medieval Japanese form. To a certain extent,
mm-hmm.
The robes and that sort of thing. So, I think I'd like to hear your thoughts about that and about when. I heard you once say, you know, we could rewrite something. I don't think it was the precepts, but you encourage someone to rewrite it. For us or for your oneself. Mm-hmm. So I just like to hear a little bit more about that, because the Sesshin forms, for example, you know, worked well in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
The food, the orioki bowls.
Yes.
The what you put in each bowl.
Exactly.
Worked really well.
Yes, it
for
does.
For Japanese people in Japan.
Thousand years ago.
And what now,
because
we're not there?
Well, we're still trying to find out. I agonized over this question for a long time. When I first started to sit, I was very annoyed by all the forms. And I kept saying that if it's true, if the Dharma is true, it's got to be true in a bar on El Camino Real, and or anywhere else, and it doesn't have to be special in any way. And it took me a while to begin to feel what it's about, because it isn't explained in any way. And it isn't that it's all cast in bronze, because it's not. I finally got an answer to my basic question when Blanche sort of bullied me into going to Japan with her. I really didn't want to go. I thought, I don't want to go to Japan. I don't want to pick up all that stuff. And we'll just do it at Jikoji in a natural way. And so the third time I said yes to her and went with a group of women. It was very fun, actually. It was 12 women, so we were all bedded down in this tiny little Zendo, just about this size, where we sat and slept and ate all in our seat. And they were going to teach us, Blanche and Roshi, Suzuki Roshi's son, and a new monk who came over from Sojiji. They were all going to teach us how to do the forms, how to ring the bell, and how to do the mokukyo, and how to bow, and where to put your shoes, and all those particular things that always annoyed me. And the first thing they did when they gathered us together at the altar was start to argue about which way was the right way. And each one of those three had a different way of doing those things. I thought, son of a gun! It's incredible! So it was a huge relief, and I realized we just figure out something that works and we all agree on it so that we don't have to have a kerfluffle every time we get up or sit down. Mm-hmm. It's just an agreement that we can make. And having made the agreement, we can change it. And it turned out that we kept changing our we changed our schedule every day just about. We changed just about whatever we were doing. It was, I mean, you get 12 women together and you cannot keep a straight line going. It just goes everywhere. And it was fine because we were all in sync with each other. And that's what it's about. So we've written out all the instructions on how to do, but those are just the instructions that we've figured out might work. And they can be rewritten and undone and redone and have been. It's not anything to worry about. And ritual itself is something that if you allow yourself to just enter it without thinking, just to allow it to be, you begin to feel what it's for. There's a purpose. You know, when we do prostrations, it's what Koban always was saying about our practice, that it's always a stepping down. It's always a coming down. There's no exaltation, there's no being lifted up in the hierarchy and getting better and better and more important and all of those things. It's becoming more humble. And so we show our humility by actually going to the floor. And then we lift our hands, and that they say the Buddha is standing on our hands. The Buddha of us is being lifted up. That's all. And it doesn't have to be a thought thing at all. But it's a wonderful feeling if you know what it is. And it looks goofy if you don't. It just looks weird and terrible. And if you're Jewish, you don't want to do it at all. So it's just one of those things you don't have to do. But it's one that we have found of use and value. But we can change it. We can do something else. So it's a great question, Leslie.
Thank you.
And we don't know what it's going to be in 300
right.
years.
That's sort of the, you mean like you say, the fun part.
Yes.
The us, that's the big Buddhism in America.
Yes.
I won't be here, so I surely don't know what it will be.
Well, already it's so interesting. You know, some great heavy-duty teachers from the Vipassana tradition are studying Tibetan Buddhism now, mm-hmm. and I think that's just incredibly wonderful. And some people are taking up Vipassana after sitting Zen forever and ever. Like Gil Fronsdale, And he's become a wonderful Vipassana teacher out of the Zen tradition. So the Japanese are a little nervous about us because they don't quite like it that way. They think we should do it their way, and they're bending over backward to try to make it possible for us. They're creating a monastery that's more Japanese than Tassajara, because they think Tassajara is just way too American for proper transmission of the Dharma. So they're up there at Clear Lake. I think they're still intact. I think they missed the fire, but they're up in that country, and it's a big deal. It's going to be just according to Hoyle. We can all do that if we want to. You know, you can go to Tassajara too if you want to. I'll write you a letter. I've done it. There are many, many different ways of practice. And as Kogan always said, it's all up to you. It's really your practice and how you develop your life, how you cultivate what is most precious in you. And one of the ways, of course, is in community. And here we are in community. Wonderful place to be. Yes, John.
Possibly connected with these changes, but women are more and more in the spotlight. And you are clearly eminently qualified to comment on that, both from the perspective of within the lineages.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that you touched on your personal experience when you were reluctant to go to Japan. And I'm unfamiliar with whether there are named women in the history of the lineages identified. I know that there are some, a number of priests and some teachers such as yourself. But is this possibly a part of a transformation, growth?
It's a good question, and it's a troubling question in a way, because it's such a strange situation. There have been excellent teachers, starting with Shakyamuni Buddha's aunt, who raised him, who became a famous teacher, Mahapajapati, a very, very famous teacher who gave walked around in the same way that Buddha did, and gave talks and met with people, and was highly, highly respected. And there was a whole group of nuns who practiced with her. And so that, and there's a wonderful book, there's several wonderful books about those early nuns and the poems that they wrote when they were enlightened that are charming. Someone just gave me that one of those books. I'll bring it next week. And then off and on through history, women start to teach and become well known and publish. And then something happens and boom, they're gone. And nobody even remembers who they were. And it's gone like that through history all the time. It's a mystery that I can't explain. But currently, there are a great many women teachers in the West. There's one monastery for women in Japan. that a few women here have gone and spent time in. Very strict, very, very, very strict. But here, I think the women, mostly people say women are stronger teachers than the men. And I think those of us who are in that group are a little nervous that it won't last. It just feels so precarious, and it's so strange at the same time. Francis Carney, Ado Francis, is an old friend of mine and a student of Koban, and she has a wonderful little zendo and a little retreat place that looks like Ryokan's little hut at her place up in Olympia. And she is publishing women. She's published 4-5 books. She's just put one out, and I've just put the announcement on the Facebook, Floating Zendo Facebook page, that tells about it. It's women's something about how to deal with the difficulties in life. And it's some of it's written by my old buddies, some of the people who went to Japan with me, who are now teachers. And it's by teachers from all over the country. So, and she's publishing a book of mine, of my talks. Once we cobble it together, we'll have that also. So she's doing everything she can think of to help women's voices be heard. So thank you. It's a wonderful question, and a very, very troubling one in a way.
May I just go on there? Have you personally experienced hostility or resistance because you're a woman teacher?
Not so much. In Japan, they can't believe that you even have something like this, much less that you sit zazen. They just think that's very incredulous. What? You sit? You know, only monks do that. So, but here in America, it's not such a problem. At least in my experience, but my experience is not so big. I used to go to the teachers' meetings when I could do those things, and they're great. It's wonderful to meet everybody who's doing the same thing. Men and women both, and it really doesn't seem to be a problem, at least in my experience, so far. Thank you. Are you there?
Yes.
We're there. 1 minute sit.
Announcements?
Oh, excuse me, Wendy.
Yes, for the week of the session, I believe it is going to be Tuesday the 18th. We need a Makukiro. If anyone can, some of us will be up there. So if anyone can volunteer, please let me know after the 1 minute set, or maybe next Tuesday you can also let me know. We would appreciate having someone.
So during Soshin, I will be here. We'll do Tuesday night for anyone who is going to be in town. We'll continue.